here in February of 2009, and AJ Roach and I got stuck in Thomas, West Virginia because of the snowstorm. Mm. We couldn't make it, and it was very sad. But I'm very happy to be here now with Rebecca Lobey. She's much easier to travel with than AJ Roach.
You just like it because you can wear my clothes.
Well, we also eat breakfast. AJ started each day with a cigarette and an iced mocha. That was all he ate until, all he wanted to eat until like 5 p.m.
I was like, no, I want potatoes.
Should I start? You want to start?
Yeah. Tend to do when I'm alone in the car because I'm a total nerd. If you're going to know me for any amount of time, you should know that about me. And the story I heard is really amazing and beautiful and kind of sad and very poignant and inspired me to write an upbeat jig about U.S. immigration policy.
Hooray!
Because that's what folks need to do.
So that's where this came from.
It's called Margarita.
Thank you.
14 women across the continent were writing a song a week based on the same prompt. And it was a It was really amazingly wonderful to be accountable to other people to continue the work of songwriting, but it also sometimes felt like homework. It made me totally annoyed. But I didn't write 52 songs. I wrote about 28. I remember how to play about four of them. And this is one that we've been singing on this trip, and it's so fun to sing with Becca that I like want to sing it all the time because it's so fun. This is a in my quest to write love songs that are happy and positive, that don't make me seem like a total asshole. Or make you hate yourself if you're not like happy in your relationship. Which is really hard to do. It's much easier to write love songs where you just got your heart broken. Those are really easy.
Unlove songs.
Unlove songs are very easy, but like love songs can be really, really difficult. So also the great Jack Hardy said that if you don't know what to write, you should write a country song because they're easier. So this is a country song.
Your beard in the morning.
your life in the dark, you feel like a house that I lived in that somebody else raised their kids in, darling. What did you do to my heart? I swear it was fine when I met you, full of blood, a little sinew, nothing fancy, no, not working particularly hard. Can you do it again?
Thank you.
for a living is getting to travel all over the country and meet so many extraordinary people. It's a lot. There's, you know, because we play, what, we're on 4, 5, 6, 7 nights a week. This tour that we're on, this is our 10th consecutive show in the last 10 nights. And we've actually done a bunch of daytime shows, too. So we've played, like, 13 shows in the last 10 days. It's been really fun. And at every one, we get to meet, you know, new people that we wouldn't cross paths with otherwise. And then, you know, every gas station on every plane. And that's kind of where this next song came from, is I met a young man on an airplane who was 18 years old and had never flown anywhere before. And he was flying from Miami to Chicago, and he was so nervous about flying that even though normally at that ungodly hour of the morning, I would prefer to be sleeping, I chatted with him a little bit just to try and break the ice, and I asked him, you know, well, you're 18 years old, you've never been on a plane before, what are you flying to Chicago for? What's going on? And he said, well, I'm flying to Chicago to get married. And I said, oh, my goodness, yeah, my expression was kind of like that one. I was like, wow! Congratulations! Tell me everything about yourself. So we talked the whole flight, and he turned out to be this really nice guy. He had a really rough upbringing. He had like 6 bad older brothers that all wielded a really terrible influence over him. And by the time he got to high school, he said he was really off track, but then he met this girl, and his whole face lit up when he talked about her. She was beautiful and smart and really motivated him to get his act together, which he had finally done. And when she graduated from high school and moved on to college in Chicago, they made a deal that if he graduated from high school, or when he graduated from high school, he could fly to Chicago and they would get married. So he had graduated that week on Monday morning, and now it is Friday morning, like super early in the morning, like before 8 a.m. And he is on that plane, he's flying up there, he's gonna land around 3 o'clock and be reunited with his fiance for the first time in over 10 months. They haven't seen each other in almost a full year. And then he was going to meet her mom, too, because mom was coming along on that airport pickup. I mean, wouldn't you? I would, right? Okay. So then the three of them are going to proceed directly to City Hall for a wedding that afternoon. He's going to be married by the end of the day. He's going to spend the weekend in Chicago with his new wifey, and then he had to be back in Miami by Tuesday because he had not gotten his afternoon shift at Chi Chi's covered, and he really needed that job.
So by the end of the trip, I was completely in love with this kid. Now, I was getting off the plane in Atlanta, but he was continuing on to Chicago. And I did everything I could to try and become his new best friend, but I think I might have come on a little strong. I tried to play cool, you know, that being one of my specialties and all. I gave him some CDs and a postcard and my phone number. And next thing you know, I'm crazy, saying crazy things like, well, you know, I'm a full-time traveling folk singer, so I might read you guys up. I mean, I'm sure a computer eventually, and you call me anytime, here's my number, my phone, you have a phone, you want my phone, here, take my phone, I have a phone, you call me on my phone, I have a phone. And you know something? He has not called me yet. But it's only been like 2.5 years, so there's still plenty of time. And now if he does call me, I can tell him that I have a brand new song on it, brand new album with a song on it all about him. It's called The Chicago Kid.
Well, I was born in South Florida and left there to die. I spent 18 long years in the weeds. I found it hard to believe in even changing the seasons. The leaves only turned on TV. Though I would. be the one she'll press her back to. I am Chicago, go, go, go. And if by land they say two, if I see three.
If you've never heard of him, he's totally rad. We have this friend named Patrick who's heir to a bison fortune, and he and his family own a house in Telluride, Colorado, and we used to go up there every year for the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and by we, I mean me and like 19 other hippies would go sleep on his couches and in his guest beds and on his lawn. And one year, I had just found a dog a couple months earlier tied to a tree in rural Arizona, covered in ticks and like 3 months old, and I found her and I pulled the ticks off her and I threw her in the van. And she has been to more states than most humans. But she's a good dog, her name's Hopi. And I have t-shirts out there with a picture of her howling. She likes to howl along with the sirens and whatnot. But so that year I had just gotten her spayed and she had the cone of shame on, the cone of embarrassment, and she probably ripped up some of the carpet at Bison Patrick's house. And from then on, we were relegated to the sleeping in the laundry closet at this fancy house in Telluride, and it was me and Hopi on this foam mat that was my bed for about 4 years, next to the washer dryer and the water heater and the caustic cleaners. And I was feeling very sad because I had just broken up with a man for the second time who I ended up marrying, I was just feeling, you know, like. Just so like pitying myself. Here I was like in a sad place in a laundry closet, and then I wrote this song. And then I walked outside and realized that I was in Telluride, Colorado, and none of my problems were real. And this was the most beautiful place in the world, and I should just shut the hell up. But I wrote the song before I realized I should shut up, so it's here. Yay!
Yeah.
Becca has t-shirts for sale, and she also has little baby onesies for your friends that are pregnant. And I have a bunch of t-shirts with Hopi on them, and this is our second to last gig on this tour, and I usually sell them for 20, but I'll give them to you for 15 if you want a Hopi shirt, because I don't want to fly home with them because I've acquired some things and I won't have room. Please do me a favor.
So I am very lucky that my friend Sandy brought this guitar for me to play, or really she just brought it for me to look at, and then I ran with it and said, can I play it during the show? And we're gonna try it for this next song. This is
do you mind me telling them what it is?
Okay, I don't know if you were comfortable with that, but this is her grandmother's Martin from the 1930s. Her grandmother bought it at a pawn shop for $40. And it is in incredible shape. It's had very, very little work done to it. Luckily, it's had
no Botox.
Yeah, no Botox. Mostly original parts. Had some cheek implants. But anyhow, we're gonna try this song on it and just sort of see how it goes. We're gonna play Unplugged.
What are we playing?
Chuck It. You don't remember?
No. Tell you guys about the CDs available for sale in the lobby. We've discussed the t-shirts pretty thoroughly, but Rain and I both have new records.
No, we both have new records, and Rebecca's is called Circus Heart, and mine is called Caldera, and we're doing this special deal where if you buy one of each of ours, you get
a special file of live recordings that we've done together.
That
sorry,
Rebecca
I didn't mean
will
to cut
email
you off.
To you.
I'm very
no,
excited
that's fine.
About it.
Rebecca, you give us your email and we'll email you this duo CD that we made with we played the show in Atlanta at a place called Eddie's Attic, and we played it with Robbie Hecht and AJ Roach. And I think at the beginning of the show I said, my name's Raina Rose, I like long walks on the beach and shots of whiskey. And that night, so many people from Atlanta bought us shots of whiskey that it was absurd. And by the end of the night, it was the most slurry folk show that I think was happening at the time.
I mean, it would have been rude not to drink them.
They were gifts. But anyway, so you get that in a poster. We cut Robbie and AJ out, but you might be able to hear some male voices in those
male harmonies. This song is definitely on there. And if you can't hear, just raise your hand and I'll turn it up manually. I'll just come stand closer to you. Oh.
Fell asleep in
or so ago, and I met this really cool band that's actually from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We played together. They're called Into the Egress. And they were like 10 people on stage, and their van broke down on the way. But so they got there like right before it started, and they all just like burst out of their van and set up really fast. They'd gotten some local dancers to come and like these sang these twin circus costumes. It was amazing. Yeah. And then the girl, the lead singer Sarah, whose voice is really cool, was like, "Man, we live in Bethlehem. We'll come to your show." And I was like, "Uh-huh, sure you will." And she did. She's sitting right there. How amazing is that? That's incredible. That's incredible. But anyhow, they were a really cool band. You guys should go see them.
That's great.
Sure, sure, kid.
That's amazing. That never happens.
This is a really old song. I wrote this in 2005, which was the first time I ever went to Texas, which is the first time I ever went to the Kerrville Folk Festival, which is an 18-day long singer-songwriter festival about a couple hours west of Austin, and it's, I thought maybe I had died and gone to heaven, and that heaven was in Texas. This was very shocking to me, but Kerrville's amazing. It's like one of the places in the world where being a songwriter is like the coolest thing you could possibly be, and I was used to like having it be totally not cool. So it was really wonderful. And I wrote this song on the plane ride back to Portland after my first Kerrville in 2005. mentioned, we've also got an email list, and if you sign up for it, we'll be able to let you know when we're coming back to town. And we'll also tell you all of our deepest, darkest, most personal secrets. We'll just make them rhyme first. May I pick?
Oh, there's my pick. What? You can't have
a floor. Oh, the floor gave me a pick. What a nice floor. All right, so if we haven't done that before, then maybe you didn't see me a couple of years ago doing the song and dance that I did on NBC. I didn't actually dance. But I was invited to audition for the first season of The Voice, and I went, mostly because I just figured there was no way in hell they would actually pick me, but that it would be a hilarious story to tell. And I went, and I think I was so confident that there wasn't a chance in hell that I would get picked that it came across as actual confidence when I walked in the room and auditioned. Because they asked me to come back, then they kept asking me to come back, and they asked me all these questions about my life. You know, these casting directors who were picking the 60 or so contestants who had auditioned for the show on TV were just so miffed to learn that I make a living as a full-time musician without the support of any multinational conglomerate corporations. And I was really shocked to learn that they had no idea that there are thousands of people who make a living this way. And they must have thought it was like super quirky as a backstory, because they did end up putting me on the show and leaning really heavy into the homeless folk singer vibe. So that's how I was introduced to America at large.
They showed pictures of her car and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, that's her home!
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I say it every day, but traveling and meeting so many amazing people around the country kind of, it's cheesy, but it kind of reaffirms my faith in humanity. Because there are just, for every one, like, kind of rotten person you meet, there are thousands of incredibly sweet, warm, generous people who are, you know, give us so much kindness on the road, and we really rely on it. We live off that. We live off just the human kindness, the smiles that we get, and the cool stories, in addition to the generosity that we find. But when I did The Voice, that was sort of magnified, and because they really did portray me as a homeless folk singer, I got about 600 emails within the first 2 hours that show aired, and at least 300 of them were like kindly couples from the Midwest offering to let me stay in their son's room, where their kids were, like their kids who were off at college, you know? It was really sweet. I didn't take any of those people up on it.
Well, you were paying rent in an apartment with me, so.
That's true, I was subletting an apartment with Raina. It was Hollywood, come on. Anyhow, this is a song that I wrote for the folks that I met who were working on the show, who thought my job was so weird. Just wanted to explain who I am and what I do.
I have traveled many fathoms, lived inside a covered wagon. Smuggled wine.
guys are our first test audience. That's a cover of a Jackson Browne tune, obviously.
Texas for about 7 years now, and I had never heard of Townes Van Zandt before I moved to Texas, and I was kind of like, well, if I've never heard of him, he's probably not that good. And
then, she didn't live in Portland after all.
Right, and if you live in Portland, you've heard of...
Oh! Disco truck.
You've heard of everything cool if you live in Portland. That show Portland is not a joke. That's exactly how it is.
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary. I was so many of those characters in past iterations of myself. So I moved to Texas, and I kept hearing about Townes Van Zandt, and I wouldn't listen to him because I thought that he probably wasn't good if I'd never heard of him. And then I listened to him, and I was like,
the world is so big, and I am so small. Oh my goodness, the universe is all-encompassing. I am insignificant.
I've never heard of
people.
I've never heard of
him.
It was exactly like that.
That
so,
sounds like being 22 to me.
I wasn't bad. Okay, fine. So I just learned this Townes Van Zandt song, and I feel like now I can be a real Texas singer-songwriter because I can play Townes Van Zandt song.
It's so good. My fingers are broken.
Well, she's my borrowed girl. Where's those seven?
Townes Van Zandt 1 year to judge the talent competition in Kerrville, which is called the New Folk Songwriting Competition. And there are three judges. And the judges aren't really given all that many rules to follow. They're just told to pick six winners out of these 32 songwriters that sing. So at the end of the weekend, you know, after all the singers have gone, Townes hands in his scorecards. And, you know, most judges go with a 1 to 10 rating system, but his papers had the weirdest numbers on them, like 47. 631, 18, and he said, what are these numbers? He said, well, that's how many songs they're gonna have to write before they write a good one.
I have not heard that.
Did you know? few years ago, sort of as a public service announcement. A little instructional guide, if you will, to anyone in the world at large who's considering ever coming home with me, ever for any sort of family meal around the holidays. There are some do's and some don'ts conversationally. Try, but I wrote this song after I left them, and
I really hate playing it for people who can actually play bluegrass, because this is like a fake folk singer's
Folk grass.
Thank you for bearing with me. She has built herself a canning empire. That's the kind of music that my dad would play for us. He and his brothers would play bluegrass together and gospel music. Our dad has a degree in the history of country and western music that he received from UC Santa Cruz in the early 70s. They're real hippies. Real legit California.
Something new when you can. Barefoot, messy bedroom floor handle, sawed off of the door, candles burning, records turning.
We'll be right back. Anything. It was back to God.
We did a residency together at the beginning of the year at a barbecue place in Austin that also happens to have a fabulous listening room in the back. See what we mean about Austin being awesome? And we played every Monday night for the month of January, and we let the audience vote. As Brandon calls it, it was cover song roulette. We let the audience vote on what cover song we were going to do the next week. So we got stuck with some kind of weird ones, and this one we actually were dreading learning, and then we started singing it together, and it's so much fun, we almost don't want to ever sing it
again. It's so much fun. We were like rolling on the floor laughing as we were figuring this one out. So I'd like to thank the Bee Gees for this one.
I'd like to thank Ramona for having us here tonight. Woo! And Dom for being sound.
To us, and we got no doubt. So deep in love. And